Startups move fast, and with AI, they're shipping even faster and attracting enterprise buyers sooner. But big deals bring even bigger security and compliance requirements. A SOC 2 isn't always enough. The right kind of security can make a deal or break it. Vanta knows what's needed and when, and they've built the fastest, easiest path to get you there. That's why serious startups get secure early with Vanta. Get $1,000 off at vanta.com/wandery. That's VANTA.com/wandery.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one and only Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, baby?
I'm great. I'm just glad that your name is not Todd, because otherwise we may be going through a divorce, because the Todds on Bravo, they are not lasting. Not lasting at all. Wow. Did you see?
Yeah, rough time to be a Todd today.
Yeah, rough time to be a Tajida. I have to say, I got a text from my brother a few nights ago, and he was flying through Salt Lake City. He was connecting, and he texted me and he said, "Hey, this guy is sitting behind me on the plane," and it was like a picture of Todd, like Todd, Bronwyn's Todd. And I, of course, lost my mind. I think I sent you a screenshot right away, and I was like, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God." And of course, my brother had no idea really who he was. But his girlfriend recognized Todd. So he was like, "Yeah, there's this guy." And then like about half an hour later, my brother was like, "Every time he gets up to go to the bathroom, he grabs the back of my seat and uses it for leverage instead of using the armrest." He's like, "I'm going to fucking kill this guy." I was like, "Of course Todd is one of those people. Like, of course Todd grabs a chair." So my brother was like, "I'm just going to recline right into him." He put his chair down. I was like, "You do it, Dan." I was so happy for him. But that was some great, great reporting from my brother in disguise. And I'm just so mad. I'm so mad that Todd does that. And yet I'm so unsurprised. Of course he's a seat puller.
Yeah, but why isn't Bronwyn sticking up for Meredith then? Because that's what Meredith did when she was shaking Brittany's chair. I'm convinced of it. Damn it. Your brother, I need more from your brother, okay? I mean, I like that information, but I was texting you. You need to tell him to ask some questions. Like, what the hell? Are you getting divorced? Or like pass by him and see what he's looking at on his iPad, you know?
I know. I was like, That's the shame of it. If Dan were sitting behind him, he could have looked at all the girls that Todd was probably flirting with. But yeah. Alas.
Yeah. That's the thing. And it's such a waste when non-Bravo people get in that situation. Because they're like, "Haha, I'm behind a Bravo person." They text all the Bravo people, but they do nothing of worth. You know, like, "I need you to do some recon. You are there. You don't understand. This is a huge chance, sir." Like, we need to train our friends. Bravo watchers need to train our friends how to deal with situations like this. Like, I don't need a selfie of you and the person. I need you to get the dirt.
Well, I think the seat pulling was a pretty damning piece of dirt, I have to say, because it really speaks volumes. I mean, it says everything about this guy, right? Like, we should have just always known that was his MO in life, is to grab onto your seat and pull you down so that way he can get up and pee somewhere.
Yeah, he's probably, like, if he had hair, he'd be one of those people who, like, luxuriated his hair over the seat back into your seat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I will pull those people's hair. I won't pull it with my hands, but I will put my iPad up against it very hard and be like, "Oh, sorry, I was home. Sorry, did that hurt? I was just trying to watch my film on my seat that I paid for." You freaking hippie.
Yeah, seriously.
Get your stringy hair out of my seat.
It's shocking that people do that. It's like, it's actually shocking that people cascade their hair down into like my seating area. Yeah. And like, it can get into my drink, you know, if it's long enough.
Yeah.
Gross. Well,
it can also get into my iPad creases. There are no creases. I'll close the iPad cover on it. That's what I'll do. The magnetic cover. And then just be like, "Oh, putting in my backpack.
Yeah.
Sorry. Does that hurt? Wash your hair."
I feel like I'm going to start carrying painter's tape or something And so that way, next time that happens, I'm just going to take some tape and tape the hair to the seat. So then when they try to get up, they're like,
well, that's assault. So see, you have to do things in a tricky way because you can't assault somebody. But my iPad didn't know. I mean, I was just resting my iPad. You see, you have to be tricky about it.
What if I attach the tape in those little tape loops or get some double-sided tape, attach it to the seat first, and then when they cascade their hair down, their hair attaches to it, and then that's not assault. They just landed. They assaulted the tape.
This just started on fire. How about that? How about I just start and bring a lighter on the plane? All right. Anyway, the point is we're here today for Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap. Monday at 4 p.m. Pacific time is our Amazon Live time. So we'll be doing that. Also, this Monday will be our final crappy hour of the month, of the year. It's going to be at 5:30 Pacific time. So join us for that. You can find links for both of those things over on our Instagram in our link in bio section. And today is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, season 15, episode two. Is this episode two? Oh, shit. God, we've got a long season ahead of us. Episode two. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're off to the races again.
Well,
with this show,
we're off to the races with how Kyle is a victim this season.
I'm a little
concerned. A victim this time. So let's go to it. What are you concerned about?
This show. I don't know. I know it's early. It's early, but I'm like, is this what the season's going to be like?
It's not a rollicking start. That's for sure.
No,
I still was giggling and enjoying it. And I still love to talk about it, but yeah, it's definitely a valid concern because
Yeah,
it's just a lot of the same. You know, it's Kyle still wallowing in whatever this is, whatever she's doing or whatever it is, the whole like closeted gay dating star, whatever they're doing. Like, I get it, but it's also 2025 and I'm annoyed on so many fronts because I'm annoyed that we live in a world where you would still find the need to be closeted, but we do live in that world. So I'm not going to take that away from Morgan or Kyle or anybody else who's in the closet. It is a huge thing to contend with. It's not like you just come out of the closet and like, oh, that's it. You're just another gay and that's it. Your whole life does kind of become that. You know, you're the gay friend. You're the gay uncle. You're the whatever. Whenever there's a conversation about gayness, you're the one who has to speak on it in your family. You know, there is a lot that comes with it. There is still a lot of hate and a lot of bigotry and stuff like that. I don't know why I'm going on a whole monologue about it, but I get the closeted aspect of it. The other part of me is like, but you are the one that brought it on this show and made it a thing. Nobody else did. You're the one who brought it on and made that music video, fed her did your feeding each other at your friend's memorial service, which was highly inappropriate, that whole scene anyway. So part of me is like, why do I have to watch you cry about it? You know what I mean? Like, there are people dealing with real issues.
Yeah, I actually 100% agree. I kind of feel like we obviously don't have any issue with being closeted in terms of like we understand it, right? But it was actually like a weird, it was the way that she was so coy that whole season about it all, maybe not, but she was also bringing it around, but then like was being elusive about it, and then it's going to come on the episode here and kind of like blame Morgan for it. And I just am like, Morgan, it's one thing to say I'm with someone that doesn't want to be in the public eye and is uncomfortable with it. Sure, fine. We've seen that a million times on Bravo. But then it doesn't really explain like this feeling that we had during that season where Kyle seemed to be really enjoying the benefits of being kind of like in this, what at that time felt like queer adjacent space. But then like not actually being part of it. I don't know. I don't know if her explanation today fully like lets her off the hook. I appreciate her for finally addressing it in that way, but also like you can't blame it all on Morgan, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole thing is just a little, and also like you can't do this whole thing about Morgan and then come on screen dressed exactly like Morgan. Like, did you notice that look when she was in the tie? Hold on. I got a picture.
You mean Lisa Vanderpump?
Well, like the, I mean, she's like going, I think, full on gay girl, right? She's like lesbian.
I actually really like that.
I think gay women were doing that before Lisa Vanderpump, but.
No, but just in the
if it was a pussy belly.
In the long timeline, in the long timeline of Kyle taking from Lisa Vanderpump, here's another moment. However, I actually thought it looked really good on Kyle.
It does look really good. But my point is, my point is that she shows up like, you know, she steals everyone's look. She comes on dressed like Lisa Vanderpump all the time, like you just mentioned. She's like a copier, and she came on with this woman's hair and her look. Oh, wow. It was the first picture when I looked it up. Like, look at that. That's the exact same hair even. I mean, the color is different because Kyle has a different color hair. But I was like, okay, so now you're going to cosplay as Morgan while you tell us all not to talk about Morgan. Like, give me a fucking break, Kyle. There's only so much I can take, you know? And I know that it goes close to being insensitive to people who, listen, I'm a gay person. I support gay men and women and everybody. I support my whole community. Okay. But there comes a point where it's like, okay, but you're also baiting us at the same time. So you need to kind of pick a lane here, lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is I am glad that she has picked her lane finally. And she's, you know, and she is being more open and honest about it. But
is she though?
Yeah,
now she's saying they're broken up, but I don't know that they're, are they broken up? Like, I just don't believe Kyle. I don't believe anything Kyle says.
I don't know. I think there's a difference between wanting to respect your partner's privacy and also like you can still be honest with your like with yourself. At the same time, I do appreciate like if you are on this journey and you're not quite comfortable, you know, like with yourself on it, etc. But sort of like you said, she kind of brought it onto the show. She was, you know, before there was Mauricio, you know, in the lobby of like every single hotel lobby in Los Angeles, there was Kyle and Morgan at like every single gas stop.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. Cause it's not only the gay thing. It's the whole Mauricio thing as well. It's like, you're the one who was kind of cheating on your husband with this lady publicly and bringing that. I mean, so then why am I crying for you at the same time? It's just basically a Kyle conundrum. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. it's mixed up with homosexuality and all this other stuff. But on the whole, the issue is Kyle. It's not the gayness. It's not the closetedness. It's the Kyle choosing to share things or not share things and lying about things and misrepresenting things while she's lecturing everybody else. And screaming at everybody else, open and honest and this and that, which she mentions today. Like, I'm the one who's always saying open and honest, but I just can this situation because I respect the gay community. It's like, okay, but stop bringing it in front of my face then, you know?
I guess for me, what is frustrating is that she really has literally run people off the show for not being quote unquote open and honest.
Right.
And here she suddenly was willing to see shades of gray of what open and honest could suddenly mean. When, I mean, I always go back to the Denise and Brandy thing. She really invoked a lot of gay panic in that entire storyline and sent Denise, you know, running. I mean, Denise is the master of her own choices, right? But ultimately, like, it was a little bit of a witch hunt and sort of whipped everyone up into a frenzy about that. And I also kind of feel like, honestly, if Kyle had just said, yeah, I'm seeing a lady now, I think it would have been met with like, maybe a shrug, people would have said, well, maybe some people would have said like, oh, you're doing it for attention, whatever. But like, it was actually the continued like, elusiveness of her and the way she was being coy about it. Like, what? No, I mean, I don't know what, look what, we just got tattoos, but it's just like, it's not an M, it's a W that stands for a woman or whatever it was. And, I think that's what's like very frustrating. It is the hypocrisy of Kyle and the way she treats other people who try to similarly protect their peace and protect their partners. And then the way she was so, you know, like, well, was clutching her pearls that anyone would, you know, ask her questions and got to the point where she actually told the entire cast, you're not allowed to even invoke her name, which was all of last season.
Yeah, and then sorry, go ahead.
No, and then we're supposed to like praise her for finally being open and honest. It's kind of like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, I think she could have avoided this by saying, listen, my husband has put me through all kinds of shit over the years. And because we still don't even know what happened there. Did he cheat? Did he not cheat? She insinuates things, but we never know. So, okay. So my husband treated me in a way I didn't like. We're separating. I'm exploring my sexuality. I'm dating people, but it's no one serious yet. And I'm not ready to talk about it. the end. But instead it became this whole, how dare you even ask me? You know, you're not allowed to ask people in the gay community and blah, 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 blah. And she made it about that. And that's what's starting to piss me off, because the people in the gay community have enough shit to deal with without you using it for fodder and for, you know, attention. It's annoying. I mean, it's annoying. But granted, I'm annoyed by Kyle anyway. So yeah, this, I also have to admit that that comes from a deeply rooted 12-year long or 11-year long, because I loved our first season, kind of TV grudge, a parasocial grudge. So,
right. I mean, again, despite my complaints, I am appreciative that she has now gotten to a place where she can be like, okay, this is the situation. But she still can't even, if I remember correctly, and we'll see when we get through the notes, I don't think she's even able to state that it was a woman she was in a relationship with. I think
she doesn't use any pronouns.
She keeps on saying this person, this person, this person. So she's still being really vague. And I guess that's what's so frustrating about me. I think, I know she in her mind is like, I'm being protective, but actually you're just once again obfuscating a situation. And it's like, it can be frustrating. It can be frustrating when she is the one who carries this banner. And like, and truthfully, like a housewife that decides to like dabble, quote unquote, dabble in the lady pond. I mean, this is not new territory for us. Okay. Kim Zolciak dated DJ What's Her Face years and years ago. So like, you know, we don't have to be coddled in this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's that. I think I've got like a popcorn kernel stuck somewhere in my mouth, but I can't find it. So that's probably Kyle's fault. Damn it. I know it's here somewhere. I'm sorry, everybody.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Let's start at the beginning. I'm sure we'll have a whole year to bitch about this. But also, Kyle's not the only one. Erica's dating somebody. She hasn't brought him on yet. I think she'll bring him on later. Did they show him on screen at one point? Maybe in the preview or something. I got it, by the way. So people, it's not like it's new on this show that people don't want to share, you know. But as a whole, it's getting kind of annoying. It's like you're asking us to watch a show for the 12th year, but then you're giving us a laundry reasons of shit you're not going to share and like sad excuses why you're not going to share them. Stop it. Open and honest. All right, let's get into it, shall we? We open at Rachel's house. She's talking to Caius, because I think the other one maybe doesn't want to be on screen. It's all Caius all the time.
So I only want Caius, my son, there, who thankfully not eating bowels.
Any kind of cereal.
Yeah, he's not. No, thankfully the mouth, nothing is flowing out of this mouth. Nothing is spraying everywhere. Caius has to go to camp. He has to go to camp. He's going to go away at a sleepaway camp. So it's like bananas where Caius has to go.
Yeah. So Bose comes in and we get the usual, you're gorgeous. No, you're gorgeous. No, you're gorgeous. And she's like, I love Bose's energy. I love her positivity. I love her fucking fearlessness.
We are such an odd pairing in like so many ways, because like we are like so opposite in like the way we approach things. Like she's scared of nothing, and I'm like scared of like literally everything. Like it's bananas. I'm like scared. Like when I say I die, it's because I'm afraid of dying. I have a real fear of hurting someone's feelings, which does hurt me sometimes. Like because you know, like because I should hurt people's feelings sometimes, like including my ex.
So they're catching up, and this is so funny to me. But Bose goes, "So how's life?" And she goes, "Paralyzing. It's like paralyzing sometimes." But also it's refreshing because like I make decisions now and I don't need to wait for some man to make decisions for me. Like, I mean, this is wild. It's like literally wild. I died. I literally died telling you that. But like paralyzed. By the way, could you feed me with a straw? Like it's hard. It's hard.
Lift my wrist. I was like living in an anxious state with like shields up all the time. I don't know how to, I don't have walls. Walls are like so 2009. I have shields to a point where like I feel like I was walking on eggshells about things that like were like, can you put like my carry on in the overhead? Like, you know, things like that. And like, I can't lift it. And I felt like I was being annoying because it was like fucking Jekyll and Hyde.
Look, honey, here we are on a plane. No, why do I have to put your fucking suitcase in the carry on again? All right. Let's just have a nice ride together. I just love her version of Jekyll and Hyde. One minute he's okay with putting my suitcase in the carry on, in the carry on slot. And the next minute he's not. Like, who even are you right now? You know what I mean?
But I can also totally imagine Raj being super pissy about Carry On. I can imagine being like, Rach, you always pack so much. I can see him being a real dick about it. So Bo's like, speaking of that, I thought it was interesting when we started having the conversation about the photos that have been circling and all that. And I don't know that I got your opinion, but like, if I saw your ex in the press kissing somebody, how would you feel about that? Or if you saw your ex, even worse.
And she says, well, I did. And Bose is like,
yeah.
I love Bose's level of shock at everything in this episode.
She's like, yeah, it's funny because like no one really cared. It came out in the Daily Mail and it was like really funny because like people like saw it and were like, oh, cool. But they weren't like, oh, wow. They're just like, oh, cool. So they just like moved on. So it was like weird, but it was like cool.
Yeah. And please remember that I have kids that are 14 and 11. Okay. And for me, a lot of it is like, I mean, are you okay? Are you unwell? Like, what the fuck are you thinking about? I mean, I can't imagine anything more fucking indiscreet than being photographed on the sidewalks of Los Angeles with your arm around your girlfriend that nobody even knows about. I mean, that was the thing. It's like, not only are you're dating somebody non-famous in Los Angeles. That is embarrassing. Caius has to go to sleepaway camp.
Yeah. Like, what about your businesses? What about your team? What about our investors? What about our companies? What about our kids? I'm like, I love that kids was at the end of that list. It's like team, businesses, team, investors, company, and like Kyle's. Like, what about Kyle's?
Yeah, I don't understand their business structure, but why do investors care if your husband's dating somebody? But
they don't care at all.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe there's a scandal. Maybe scandal could be bad for the brand.
Yeah. But it's a good episode for Kyle because she's like, what about our company, our kids? I mean, hide. So she's like, yeah, but you know, like I didn't understand and it really did upset me, you know? And Kyle's like, well, I just haven't dated. When I said you were dating, she was like, no. And Puts goes, and you were like, whoa. Yeah, I was like, whoa. So by the way, like, it's okay. Like you're, maybe she's not ready, but like ever. Like, are you going to date ever? Like, what the hell?
Regardless of who Kyle's seeing, the truth about the fact that you're seeing somebody or exploring other options could be a safe space for us to discuss versus a total shutdown. And then the wall that says, no, I'm not doing anything. And then it's like, I'm sorry. Are we friends or are we not? Totes. Because there's like speculation about what's going on with Kyle. Is she dating somebody? Is she not? Is she trying to get back with Mauricio? Is she not? And I think people have asked her that like question, but Kyle is out there dodging them like the damn Matrix. Bloop.
So
it's a damn shame Bose and Garcelle didn't get along better, or they didn't hit it off right from the start, because they would have been a good team. Because Garcelle's gone and Bose is like, okay, I will take up your mantle. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I will continue coming after Kyle about who she's dating.
Yeah. So Bose is like, that's why I'm just like, look, if we don't want to break that barrier, that's fine with me. But let me know so I can spend my energy elsewhere. Totes. That was so good. So now we go to Mauricio's house. Kyle shows up and he's got this like, you know, mid-century house up in the hills and everything. And she's like, wow, this is like beautiful. Like, you acted like you're living in the slums. He's like, Nah, I never said I was like living in the slums. Just like, I just have like a tiny little, you know, starter house. That's it. Just this, you know, $1 million house. It's basically like a shack. That's it.
Oh, why do you think I need so many towels? Why are you bringing me like 8 more towels, Kyle? She's like, by the way, these towels are for our daughters, not for any of the skanky hoes that I've seen you with. Okay. So they had agreed that he was going to lease a place for 6 months and then they would have a discussion about their relationship after. But he went straight from that place and then leased a house without even talking to Kyle. So what the hell? So he's like, we didn't even have the conversation about potentially fixing up things in the future.
Kyle's like, that was supposed to be my storyline this season. Hello.
You've been pretty steadily dating somebody for a while. This is the other thing that's making me crazy. Like, you've been dating someone for a while. Why is it like poor, sad Kyle who might have had a chance to put it back together with Mauricio? I don't get it.
Yeah. So Kyle's like, did the girl tease you about the photos that came out? Just kidding. I already know what they said. I can just say it, though. Mauricio's like, yeah, there was like a little bit of teasing. I mean, they told me that I'm in my host age. Yeah, that was so funny. The host age, 6'7", am I right? Sorry, it's just what the kids say. Okay, well, this place looks like it's on fleek.
So he asks if she's gone on any dates, and she's like, like she gives him this look like, how dare you? You know I'm not going to talk about this on camera. And she's like, well, I mean, no. I mean, I'm single. And he goes, yeah, but that's why you're allowed to go on dates. And she's like, well, I haven't gone on dates. And I mean, I would not be in a situation like you. Sorry to say. And he's like, you never know. You know, you get it going on. You got the passion, the whole thing. Wow. She's like, yeah. Shut up. Please shut up.
Yeah, but like when you're saying that, like you're also referencing yourself, and I just like don't need to hear that, Mauricio. He's like, okay, fair enough. So she's like, yes, I have dated since Mo, and I have, you know, I have separated, and but I can also be private and discreet, and unlike Mo, we don't need to see that of each other, and our kids don't need to see that, and I don't feel the need to parade around showing it off. I just feel the need to parade it around and pretend like it's not a parade. It's actually just like people all in the street moving at the same rate. And there happens to be a float in the street, but it's not a parade. And that's my prerogative.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you separate, you're allowed to see other people. I'm not really getting this. I mean, I know she is saying that too. She just doesn't want to see it in the press, but I mean, you're famous. I mean, you also call them all the time. It's so Mauricio's like, so how are you? And she says, she had the girls over for a party, and Dorit was talking about how she was really mad about the PK photos, and that she basically blamed it on Mauricio because PK was inspired by Mauricio's photos. And he's like, well, that sounds like so ludicrous to me. And she's like, yeah, but like, she seems like angry.
At him? No, cut. No, Mauricio, she's angry at UPS. Of course at him. Like,
and he's like, well, that's a vibe I get from her, but like, he's not angry at all, you know? Well, yeah, of course he's not.
Because he's banging randos at the ballet. Yeah.
He's the one that left her and has been banging randos and just left home and doesn't have to take care of kids or do fucking anything. Of course he's not mad. Why would he be? Yeah. He gets everything.
Yeah, he's like, based on my perception, she's got a little bit of a fantasy of what the reality actually is, you know? So now we go to Erica.
What does that mean? Oh, she's got a little bit of a fantasy of what the reality is. Stop speaking in Kyle, sir. What does that sentence even mean?
He's saying that she's deluded. That's what he's saying. He's saying that she has like her own version of reality. He's trying to be very polite about saying like she's cuckoo for cocoa nuts. That's what he's saying, because he's taking up for the guy. So now, Erica and Sutton go to a spa, and it's hilarious because this spa is just like right on Melrose Avenue. It's like right next to Lala's, which is like, you know, cute little Argentinian restaurant that people know, people in the neighborhood know. And it's just funny because it's like not a Beverly Hills kind of restaurant or stretch. And I just was shocked that they did not capture Sutton like getting out of her Uber and be like, this is Melrose Avenue. Okay, am I going to be safe here? Oh, there's a man on a skateboard. Okay, run. Everyone get inside, lock the doors. Man on a skateboard.
Well, she did look highly uncomfortable coming in there. She did not look comfortable. She was like looking around like, where the fuck are we? Of course, this is an Erica scene. You're bringing me to, you know, Fallujah or whatever. She's just like, where even are we? They're lucky that Heather Dubrow didn't pass by after Gramley's class. Like, hello, ladies.
Are you going to be going to Lala's afterwards? Me neither.
So they tell each other how cute they are, of course. And Sutton's like, well, Eric and I have been through a lot in the past few years. And, you know, she's invited me for a spa day. So it's just me and Erica. I am expecting just a hose, some white rain, but, I'm here. I'm here.
Erica's like, yeah, this is Erica extending an olive branch. Take it. Although it's also Erica pranking Sutton because the building next door is a restaurant called It's All About the Bread. That's not even a joke. That's really what it's called. It's a very triggering sign for us ladies on Beverly
it's like
Hills.
A life story.
That is actually the biggest affront, is that the restaurant on the other side of this place is called It's All About the Bread. Because
that's like, how LA that's, is.
Those are fighting words for this cast, you know?
But that's also very LA. That Crunch Fitness used to be right across from the McDonald's. And whenever I first moved to LA and I was on those stair climbers, they looked out right over the McDonald's. LA is evil like that. They do shit like that on purpose.
Yeah. So Erica is extending an olive branch at this place where they're going to get facials. And so she's like, did you have fun yesterday? You and Derek got along, I noticed. And she's like, oh yeah, I just want to allow her some grace from being a crazy person. And Erica's like, yeah, I think she'd really like that. I can almost feel her energy a little bit. So much so I almost started speaking with a British accent, which was a little bit crazy.
I just feel her. I feel her deep inside me. You know, I almost asked somebody for $5 yesterday for no reason. She's just so poor. This is also a oh, go ahead.
I almost put $30,000 in a cart and just walked around a poor person's store until I got robbed. That's how much I was feeling her.
And then called it five different stores every time I told the story. Anyway, those were good times. So Erica, this is a classic Erica scene where she gets together with Sutton and pretends to be Sutton's friend right before she fucks her over. It happens. It's happened like three or four seasons. I think it's so funny that Sutton falls for it every single time. Erica does not like you. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's going to take whatever you tell her. She's going to bait you into saying something and then she's going to turn on you. You dummy. So yep. Sutton talks about how she went through her divorce. She was just surprised at every turn. And yet I was a mother still maintaining that kind of stability at home. So I want to be more open-minded and open-hearted with Dorit because I know that she's going through a really tough time and she's doing it in just poverty. So,
I know that you're over everything with Tom, right? Right? She's like, oh no, I'm not over that. I'm just heartbroken. It fucking sucks knowing that the person that I'm being married to for that long and seeing him on the courthouse and see him like that and knowing that he's gonna die in prison and he's lost his mind and oh my God, it's so heartbreaking. Yes, sweetheart, I'll have some more lotion on my face for this facial. Yes, thank you. I love this, like, I feel so bad for him as she's just getting fully pampered in a spa. Like, it's terrible what's happening to poor Tom.
It's just so heavy on any level.
Well, are you gonna, you know, say goodbye?
Oh, I don't know, but I've thought about it. I mean, what do I even do?
You go say goodbye. The fuck is wrong with you, you ingrate? Okay, that man was a monster, but you profited heavily off the monsterism. Go say goodbye. Right, no, thank you card at least. I mean, get some free moisturizer from the fucking front desk and send it to him. Something.
So Erica's like, yeah, I mean, I said this to somebody the other day. I just kind of hoped he'd die before he went to prison so that way he could just get over with. She really should get into the greeting cards business.
Hope you die today so I don't have to deal with you tomorrow, you sick motherfucker.
Hope today is the day you die because it'd be way worse if you wind up in prison and die there. Have a lovely day.
Happy birthday! Do us both a favor and make it your last so I don't have to shop for you next year, you fucking ingrate.
Hey, happy birthday. Glad you're 1 year older. Now you can shut the fuck up. Signed, Erica Girardi on your bar mitzvah.
Get well never, compadre.
So Sutton asks how old he is. He's 86. And Sutton goes, oh my gosh, he's older than my mom. She's like, yeah, and he's really not in good health. He's going to die in there.
Ashley Darby is like,
is he officially single yet? Because he's kind of my type.
Ashley Darby's like, now there's a man.
Well, I have thought about listening to Tom.
And is this where she's wearing her insane outfit?
This is what's, she's here, like, express. I'm actually, believe it or not, I do have empathy for,
what is empathy?
But I do have empathy for Erica because it is a really, it's a weird situation. Like, you want to honor the marriage you have because it's not like he did anything, like, bad to her, but he did. It, like, according to her, he lied about everything, so there's that. So it's like, do you have a moment to honor the, like, the good times that you had with this guy? Because her whole story is that he lost his mind. He had dementia, and the reason why he did all these things was because of dementia. So then do you, like, honor what you used to have, or do you say, this guy lied to me, betrayed me? I don't know what the answer is, but watching her trying to, like, work her way through it while dressed in this crazy outfit with this, like, this wide-brimmed hat and this, it's, like, blue and orange and there's letters all over it. It's like, why does this not feel like a contemplative moment?
She just looks insane. I have no empathy for her. I don't believe he lied to her or any of that. The stuff she's still in trouble for is just so fucking vile and rancid. She's a disgusting person. And I hate this, like, let's try and put Erica under a soft light. I'll take it because I still love this show. But I'm just shaking my head like, are you fucking kidding me?
Come on. Like, it's, how many of us were born a minute? Give me a break.
It's more like I have empathy for a situation like that. I don't know if I care enough about Erica to have empathy for her. It's more like I have empathy for a situation where if you're in a marriage with someone and it turns out that they have defrauded a lot of people, like, what do you do in that? And they go to jail. What do you do in that situation? So it's more like the hypothetical of the Erica-ness of it all in this situation.
Well, according to her and what you just said, according to Erica, as you just reminded us, it's the he was losing his mind, like he had dementia. Okay. So if your family member has dementia, you just never go see them and never talk to them again. That's crazy. Right.
That's why it's a little weird to me.
It's horrible. Like, if we're going to just believe what Erica said, like, let's just pretend for a second I do. She says her husband has empathy. He has dementia. That's why he does all these things. So she just lets him rot and die alone. That's shit. That's just shitty. Like, sorry.
Yeah,
and Tom's disgusting. And I'm not standing up for Tom. I'm just pointing out that Erica is not this like angelic figure that we should all be lining up to feel bad for.
Yeah, I don't. But what I will also say, and this is again in a theoretical Erica, this is not taking into consideration the stuff that you brought up about, like the stuff that she's still in court for. Like, I don't know if like her saying goodbye to Tom, visiting him in jail, like, will he recognize her? I don't know. And like, is that actually going to be helpful to the situation? Does that actually cause?
It doesn't matter. I mean, if your friend that, you know, whatever, maybe you have some issues with, but somebody gets dementia and is sent to the hospital and you're like, they did bad things when they had dementia. I mean, doesn't dementia trump it?
I mean, I would visit. I understand that for some people, it's like, actually, it could, like, they want to remember the person the way that they were. I think that like she's scared to see him. Like, it's like, I think she's scared to see this version of Tom, like old, behind bars, not rich, though his mind going, etc. And I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, she's gross, I think. So, so she's like, well, I mean, would he even want to see me? Would he know who I am? Is there going to be a magical answer to all the questions? No.
And I've realized through a lot of therapy that you're not getting closure. You got to close it yourself.
Was that like a message for the victims that she was sending?
America scene. It's just a, you know, run of the mill sociopath scene, you know, sociopath at a spa scene.
Well, the whole thing from the people and the victims and, you know, what am I saying? All of it to this, to dying in prison is just pure insanity. Okay, yeah, a little hotter on the foot rub there. That's just lovely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and Sutton's like, yeah, that is some pretty messed up shit. It's like, wow, I just use the SH word right on television. That's how much I'm trying to bond with Erica. So Erica says that 5 years later, and she's still fighting her way out because she's still got civil cases that are in motion.
And I don't know that I'll ever get away from this. I don't know what happens to me, you know, ultimately, in the end.
With her big hat hanging on her. And
I know one thing that's not going to happen to her. Evolving her musical style. Don't see tonality. That happening ever.
Yeah, tonality. No, not tonality. Notes, is not a bus that just stops late in life. You know, so Erica's like, well, you know, it's just a whole fucking disaster. God, all the victims, all of this, all of that. While she's getting like cold cream put on her face.
She's like, oh, God, the victims. And just the way it ended. I mean, God.
Well, I hope you get some relief. I was going to put debt relief in there, but I took it out because this is a Sutton's a good person season. So. I'll just squint at you. Yeah. I'll just sit over here squinting at you and nodding my head and not saying anything judgmental.
I hope Erica gets some relief too, because God knows when you're just lying there getting a facial, someone's rubbing your shoulders and you're just getting pampered all day long. Relief is hard to come by.
So then we go to Dorit's house and her mother and father are there. So she's like, oh, the fact that you've been here, it's a game changer. I can't even bear the thought of you guys going. It just stinks not having any family here, no. Not having you guys closer to me.
So her dad, Shalom, was like, you did the right thing. You called us up. We're here. And so she says,
the last few weeks, I've noticed something change in Jaya. It's like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And we went to a friend of mine's for dinner, and she had her father there, and he was regaling us with stories of when he was younger. And when he got home, Jaya burst into tears and was telling me how much he missed his Saba. And I said, well, we can get a different hummus brand. He goes, no, Grandpa. I said, oh, that's what you've been meaning all these years. Yes, sure.
I hated him. I hated him for over an hour. As he sobbed, it took my soul right out of my heart, ripped it away.
It's a big Dorit acting episode. So Rachel's like, okay, well, we're going to take him to Florida. They're going to have a great time, Dorit. Okay. So yes, to answer your question, we will take the kids to Florida.
Thank God. Maybe Jika will return to me after he spent some time in Florida. The mystical lands, Florida.
So Rachel's like, well, not to change the subject, Dorit, but as much as you are worried about Jaga, I'm so worried about you and your health. You don't get enough sleep. You don't get enough rest. You don't get enough nutrition, and you're dumber than a piece of wood. Where did we go wrong?
I knew, and I feel it. I feel the weight of it. And that's saying something for somebody who slept under PK for so long. But, you know, PK used to handle everything, and now it's like he's dumped a lot of things in my lap without any notice. Noticeably, Jiga himself.
He handled everything, including other people's boobs. I've not had a conversation with PK to learn what he's expecting me to pay, or what he's paying. I just find out from the business manager if he decides he's no longer paying something, and it lands right in my lap. Have you ever had an entire bowl of chicken salad land in your lap? That's what has literally happened ever since this happened.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Who doesn't pay for their chicken salad? Mmm. I don't know what's coming, when it's coming. I have to get a new business manager. I had to get a divorce attorney.
And then she tells us, so this was weird. I don't know if you saw this circulating on the internets, but she says, PK doesn't give me any money. He doesn't give me any money. He expects me to pay the bills, and he believes he's doing more than enough, and I don't even know what he's doing. But the, where is it? Let me find it here. But the captions were not saying that. It was the captions were saying PK pays the mortgage and the school. What do you think that's
about? Yeah, the captions. Yeah, I don't know. The captions were definitely reporting something else, which is.
And they do that sometimes. Do you think that's because they go back and they re-edit right before air and they haven't given it to the caption people yet?
Yes. Yes. Or they forget to update the captions yet. Yeah, there clearly was a different edit of the show. And they were like, no, we're going to like not. We're the original edit like gave PK credit for doing mortgage or something. And now they're like, no.
We're not giving him that
credit.
They're like, smear him even further. Although I ain't standing up for PK. I mean, PK deserves what he gets. Dorit is saying, you know, I'm in fight or flight. I'm trying to be a mom and a parent from 13 different countries. And how you worry about me, imagine it's 100 times more how I worry for my kids, Jiga, and the girl who keeps coming over.
Tucson, is it? Sedona?
Do you mean Phoenix? Oh, yes, of course, the number one. Number one of Arizona.
Now let's go to Kyle and Alexia shopping at Geary's, where we all go to get our wedding stuff 8 weeks before a wedding. So they're talking to the store manager who already looks like she's not buying their shit. She's like, hi. So you're here not to really spend any money and just, you know, take up hours of my selling time in my store. So I make no commissions. That's amazing. What can I not help you with, bitches?
I know. And Alexia is now entering her little housewife of Beverly Hills phase, because now she's wearing a little blazer. And they're here at this Geary's place where Kyle's like, this is my daughter, Alexia. This is tradition. I mean, I registered here, and like your aunt's registered here, and everybody registered here. Tradition is like, I feel like, this is where we have Thanksgiving, or like here's an heirloom, but not like where you register. Like this is where we register is very important to us. So basically, it's a rite of passage for this family to register at Geary's. And looking around this store, you can see it's like very expensive china and glassware and housewares. And all I could think about was how boring all this shit looked. I am sorry for everyone who was duped into paying a premium for this. I'm sorry. It, like, this could not, like, if you're, Alexia, you're 29 and you're going to get this stuff. Like, this is, ugh, I was like, no way. Just because that's a high price tag, and sure, it's probably a very high quality stuff. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves. But like, ugh, I was sad for Alexia's future when I saw this stuff. Did you have a reaction, or was this like a Ben moment?
Well, I thought it was stuff that I'd never seen before. Like, they're looking at these, which, why would I? Not getting married, not going to get married, never been married, not doing it. If you ask me for something, I'm sending you a 20. No, that's kidding. That's not true. I'll buy you the gift. But these gifts, yeah, they were really expensive. I'd never seen these plates before. They were really bright colors. Like, one was really bright blue, and then there's a bright pink, and then a bright yellow. And then you're supposed to kind of mix and match them and put them on top of each other. I thought it looked very like units. Like from the mall, just from the 80s, you know, it was just like really bright, solid colors. And I don't know. I didn't really get it, but
formal and like unapproachable. And like, it looked like it belonged in a different era. You know, it didn't seem like, if I'm 29, this doesn't represent me. I feel like this like represents Kathy Hilton, you know, and I just was like looking at it
kind of like older people stuff.
Yeah, and so it just felt like Alexia's like cosplaying. I'm on their website now, and I'm just looking at all their stuff, and I'm like, I would literally never want any of this. Well, actually, some of the bar stuff is actually really cute. They have like a decanter for $2,800, which is ridiculous because you're going to put a $2,800 piece of glassware in a space where people get drunk. Okay, congratulations.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Is it's just so. You're just so rich, honestly. If you expect people to come to your wedding and buy you a $2,800 decanter, I'm like, fuck you. Like, I'm not coming to your
wedding. That's the other thing.
Like, who do you think you're inviting to your wedding? Like, I ain't made of money, but I think that's a class thing, right? Because I'm not rich enough to be going to weddings like that. Like, I would never do that. I would never buy that.
Here's the thing. So I imagine if you're registering, you have some aspirational registry elements. Like I'm registered at Geary's, but I'm also registered at like Bloomingdale's and Macy's or Nordstrom's. But I feel like if this is going to be the registry, this is like, like, I agree. Not everyone that's going to Alexia's wedding is going to be able to plop down, you know, $1,100 for an Orient Italiano Aurum tea service with tray. And like, and Alexia's going to sit there wanting a tea service, you know, like, it's just, to me, as I look at the site, I'm really like whipping myself up into a frenzy, and the caffeine is helping too. But like, when Kyle is like, yeah, this is where your aunts registered and I registered and your grandmother registered, I'm like, that's because you all were poor and wanted the rich shit. So you registered here, so the rich people you were trying to ingratiate with would buy you rich shit. So now you could cosplay as rich people until you became rich yourselves.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess that's what it is. You know, I just can't imagine being 29 and being like, okay, we're having people over to dinner. Pull out the $20,000 china. You know, like,
I know,
I just don't have any friends that I could even trust around that. It's just weird. Yeah.
Yep. It's just all this stuff. I'm like, I just would never want in my house.
Yeah. But thoughts of a non-rich person seeing this scene. I'm like, yeah, I don't get it. So, she's like, well, normally I would have Kathy come because, you know, tradition, but, she's not here. So I asked another out of touch, you know, rich white lady to come. Sutton's coming. So Sutton comes and she's like, you know, squinting around. And Carl says that the family's bad at planning, and the only thing they have 8 weeks before the wedding is a rabbi, which that is crazy, especially in this town. I don't know that I believe it. Well, where did they end up getting married? I forget. Was it in like Kyle's backyard or something?
I don't remember. Maybe they got married at Geary's. They're like, well, can we ask you a favor? Aww.
The $2,800 decanter will be saying your vows. So she's like, oh, by the way, want to hear how funny this is? Okay, wait, I'm going to stretch. So the girl that bought my Bel Air house, her name was Amanda, and I bumped into her at the Glenn Center the other day, and she's also getting married, and she's coming here today.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Yeah, Amanda bought my old house in Bel Air for me. And like, for whatever reason, my followers were very angry with Amanda for smashing our beautiful floors. We see video footage of like Amanda's man taking a sledgehammer to the...
it was glorious.
I was so glorious.
And you know, casting was like, get her on the show immediately. Because if anyone can trigger Kyle, it's someone taking a sledgehammer to the floor she copied off of Kathy Hilton.
Yeah. I was happy, and the four people who they whose names they put up on screen that were like, no, how could you do that? And we all know that those were all Finsta accounts for Kyle's daughters, let's be honest. Was this the house that had the bean-shaped pool in the backyard?
Yes. Oh. That was the pool that you absolutely hated. I think this was the bean-shaped pool.
I did hate that pool, but I love this. I love that house. I actually like that house so much more than her current house. I actually hate her current house.
Do you? What do you hate about it?
I've always hated it. Well, obviously the neon art has been an issue, but that's not a house issue. I hate the hedges when they drive up. I feel like they're too tall and too like they just make the driveway feel tight. I feel like it's like formal and like not warm in there. I don't know. I feel like it's more generic. It just looks like every other house. Whereas your other one was a little bit more like mid-century, if I remember. And I liked the way it like spread out, and I liked the backyard, and I don't know. I just felt like the first one had more personality.
Yeah. Well, Amanda sledgehammered the fuck out of that personality, and it was glorious to see. So Amanda comes, and they all have Birkin bags. And so the price comes up of all these Birkin bags, and Amanda's is like half the price as the other ladies. And I was like, oh, Kyle clocked that. You know, Kyle clocked that shit right away. Kyle's already got like a list going of what she's going to get this girl on. But this is Amanda, everybody. Amanda, not really sure about Amanda. Her only personality trait so far seems to be like, is she wearing Invisalign or is she not? There's something with her teeth. There's very pretty teeth, but I was like, is there an invisible layer over them? That's all I kept thinking the whole episode. How about you?
I thought Amanda was going to come in and be a hilarious bitch. Because in the previews, she's like, oh, is she mad because she like played herself and like didn't mean to play herself, but she did play herself in front of people who didn't play themselves. And now she looks stupid because the rest of us look cool. She said something like that in the preview. And I was like, yes, queen. And then she came in actually being a little bit more perky than I was wanting. I was like, oh, so it turns out you're like nice and perky. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I wouldn't choose the term perky. I think she seemed kind of dead inside, which I think is an okay quality in a person and a housewife. But we've already got Erica. I don't know that we can handle more than one dead inside, you know?
How about I revise it to perky presenting?
Okay. Yeah, basic maybe.
She's very she's what'd you say?
Basic.
Basic.
She's like, look, I have money now and I carry a Birkin and, you know, I'm just like another blonde lady with a Birkin in Beverly Hills.
She's like a CB2 and they're Geary's, which is all of them are dead on the inside. A CB2 at least is trying to be fun.
Yeah, but she is bringing in fun stuff because she is sledgehammering Kyle's floors. And correct. We know competitive Kyle is not going to like that. She's carrying a Birkin. We know competitive Kyle is not going to like that, even though Kyle won this round. And the third thing is she's also getting married. So now she's got wedding competition. So Kyle is going to hate this person. And I am here for it.
Yeah. This girl deigning to have a wedding while Kyle is planning a wedding for her storyline is like a huge affront to her. So I think Kyle's just going to bring it up like 10 more times that Amanda's in her old house as like a power play. Cause she did do that to Sutton when Sutton stayed at her house. She's like, oh my God, it's so funny. Cause like Sutton is in my house right now. Isn't it funny? Cause Sutton's basically like a renter. It's like, basically she's like a street urchin, right? I mean, it's like hilarious that she's even in our group. Like, is she even allowed to be in Geary's?
But yeah, she does keep saying like, she's in my house. She's in my house, guys. Yeah. She lives in my house. It's like,
in this town. Oh,
in this,
We didn't do the opening lines.
We
did.
I actually just pulled them up. You want me to send them to you?
Please do.
Yeah. In this town.
Yeah, send them to me.
Okay, I'm sending them to you right now, you little tiger. Oh, thanks for the article you sent me. How Matt Dinnenman's dungeon crawler, Carl, became a blockbuster. My favorite.
You talk about him a lot. Yeah. I want to say something while I pull up these taglines, which is that if anyone thought my rant about Geary's was like, I'm like, fuck rich shit, whatever. Like, no, I love rich shit. I love like wealthy.
Are you worried that people with the stick up their ass brigade is going to come for you?
No, I'm worried that I'm like, people may think I'm trying to like virtue signal some sort of like eat the rich thing. I'm not doing that. Like, I don't care if something, like if something's expensive, but like beautiful and chic, then like, I'm like, yeah, splurge if you can do it. You know, I support it. I just think this shit looks old fashioned and they're paying a fortune for it. And I'm like, why would you want this old fashioned shit in your house? You know, I mean, cut to like in 10 years, maybe I'll be like, take me to Gary's. I'm getting that plate. But also, I'll be 57 in 10 years and it will probably like be my vibe, you know? And I have become more like, my tastes have become more and more teen gay.
I love that like a scene has gone by and you're like, but wait, what are the people of Gary's going to think?
No, I don't care about
Gary's. What if I'm rich enough to go into Gary's and I get that sales lady and she's like, I listen to your show and I know what you really think. You will get no pink plates here. Get out of here, you Gary shaming.
You know what? I hope they're listening. I hope they're listening so that way they know that like we are clocking them for selling old fashioned boring shit at way too high of a price point. My only thing is I didn't want people to think I was like trying to pretend to be some sort of like, yeah, like, you know, like, cause everyone knows I'm bougie. Everyone knows I love Ina Garten and all that shit. So I didn't want people to think I was suddenly being fake. I just was saying, I think their shit is old fashioned and overpriced.
Okay. All right.
Well, okay. Opening line.
Record corrected. Record corrected. So we go to the opening lines. And Kyle, got to hand it to Kyle for season 15, gives us a classic. Earlier I said season 12. Sorry, I'm stupid. But she gives us a classic. In this town. Oh, yes. In this town. Yeah. I fucking love it. I love that she's still doing that. In this town, stars come and go, but diamonds last forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some, I would say the same as some of these episodes. Rachel Zoe says, I die for fashion, but now I'm living for me.
Right now I'm paralyzed, but at least I'm fashionable.
Die for passion, paralyzed for Jennifer Garner.
And Bo's is, I turn ambition into an art form, and I am the masterpiece.
Sutton Strax is, I might live on the main road, but I definitely bring main character energy.
Okay, so I feel Amanda's like it's
not structured right.
Yeah.
Like it should be, I might live on a main road,
but I'm not a main something or other.
I might live on a main road, but that's because I bring main character energy. Not like
need an and, I might, not a but.
Or an and. I live on a main road and I'm main character energy.
Yeah, I might live on a main road, but I definitely, no, and I definitely bring main character energy, you know, like owning that main road energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Amanda's is, I didn't marry into money. I manifested it. Oh, God. Another fucking manifester. Two times in a week on Bravo. They're shoving it down. And it's the same producer, by the way. It's Alex Baskin over there. Are you okay? Are you going through some kind of metaphysical therapy right now? Like, what is happening with you that you're putting manifestors in front of our face all of a sudden?
Yeah. Go take it to Venus on Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah.
Here's Erica Jane.
Survival isn't my story. It's my superpower.
Okay. Well, be sure to add you onto the Avengers.
I wish she was just like flying through the air riding on the back of some old wrinkly man while she said that. And Dorit,
I'm unfiltered, unbothered, and finally unburdened.
Not by debt, you're not.
Yeah, exactly. So those are the lines. They're
basic.
Fine.
You're basic.
You're basic.
You're basic.
Lines. Basic.
Okay, so we're still meeting Amanda. So Amanda is getting married. She's going to be getting married in October. And Sutton's like, oh, you've got a lot of time. She goes, yeah, I found the venue, but that's all I've done so far. Well, how'd you find the man? That's what's important to know. She goes, oh, yeah, he chased me down the street in West Hollywood. And she's like, in West Hollywood, what am I doing wrong? Why? Even in the gay place, this woman found a man in 5 seconds. What the hell?
Maybe
they chase you down wrong. Too. It's just for selfies, you know. it's not the kind of guy you're looking for. It's a bunch of gays like, oh my god, what happened to Avi? I won't tell anybody. Sudden.
I think what Sutton, you might be doing wrong is that you have a perpetual look of fear on your face when you see other people. What? Get them away from me. They're going to attack. So Amanda says, the night I met Eddie, I'm walking towards Santa Monica Boulevard with my girlfriend, and I walk by this really cute tall guy. And then next thing I know, I'm stepping into the street and he's like right behind me making witty banter and asking to buy me a drink. I'm like, you're in West Hollywood. It was a gay. Just so you know. Like, she's like, there was someone behind me talking about Beyonce and how like he's in the Beehive. And, you know, I turned around and I was like, what? Is this a manifestation of my dream man?
Yeah. And then he found out she was rich and was like, okay, I'm in. I mean, can we live by West Hollywood? Because if this really is a straight guy that she's marrying, fuck off West Hollywood. Like, this is what happened to West Hollywood. You know, every, like, Lisa Vanderpump is like, what happened to West Hollywood? This happened. Okay. Mm-hmm. Straight people finding love in 5 seconds. Okay. Well, gay people are the people supposed to find love in West Hollywood in 5 seconds. And guess how long it's supposed to last? 5 seconds. It was West Hollywood.
Even straight people are having love scandals. I mean, Sandoval and Raquel making out at the Abbey. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah, but they stole the Abbey from us years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really true. So this guy comes out and starts ran out of a bar to go chase her down. And she was like, I remember thinking, why do I feel compelled to like put my face on yours? I just met you. I mean, from not like a slutty, horny place, just from like a, why do I feel like I love you with my face on your face? You know?
Yeah, I just had to put my face on his face. I mean, it wasn't sluttiness. He was just so well moisturized. Like, he's gay, Amanda. You found a gay. Okay. But I really wanted to marry him because I know he respects his mother because he came out of a place called Mother Lode, which was just, it's just so sweet.
He was so tall. Admittedly, once he took off his heels, he did lose about 6 inches, but still very tall.
Yeah. And he says he manifested me and he's a better manifester than me when I'm kind of known for manifesting, you know. I mean, I don't know if you know that about me, but I'm known for manifesting. This was a Michael Kors purse before I walked into the store. Okay. And when I'm kind of like known for that, because he decided that night he was ready to meet the one. And then I like walked by him within an hour. Maybe he has like some deadly disease or I don't know. I don't know that I'd want to be with someone if they were like, I told myself today was the day I was going to find the one no matter what. And then you walked by. So you're it.
You know, that's all convenient. But, you know, it's like when someone's looking for something and then they finally find it and they say it's always in the last place you look. I'm like, yeah, because you don't keep on looking after you find it. So yeah. It's like by nature, it always has to be in the last place you look.
I just found my keys. They were in the last place I looked. Like, think of how stupid that sounds.
You're so stupid. Like, congratulations. But so I kind of feel like when people make these announcements of like, I knew tonight was going to be the night. I mean, I appreciate the manifestation journey and it's very fun. But like, the truth is this person probably said that like every night and then finally his number hit. And it's just, you know, it's cool that it hit. But like, let's not overthink this.
I don't trust anybody who makes millions of dollars off other people through manifesting. I mean, you manifested it for yourself, which is great. But you also manifested somebody else spending 10 grand on your workshop. You know, so I don't know that they're, I'd like to check all the people that spent all this money on your workshops. Cause let's see how much they are. I think they're like a lot of money, these workshops. Okay. What's her name?
Well, Amanda Seyfried. No, Amanda
Francis, right? Amanda Francis workshop.
Oh. She's got a firsty.
Okay, go ahead. Oh, digital courses. Here we go. I found it. Our most popular digital courses from Amanda Francis Money Queen app. And you can tell she's like really rich and fancy because she wears her sports coats over her shoulders, but not with her arms in them, which is like,
I love that flex. You know what I want to do? I want to wear a blazer like that and just walk right by Geary's and be like, big mistake. Huge. Even though they didn't.
So you click on the first one that's called Money Mentality, and it's her wearing diamond boots. It's all in pink, of course, getting out of a G-Wagon with her shoulders covered, but not her legs. And she's on the ground are, you know, thousands of $100 bills that she's stepping all over. Mm. And here's the course. Do you feel like there's never enough money for you? Are you paralyzed with fear at the thought of money running out? Do you feel anxiety when thinking about your bills? Okay, this goes on for a whole page. Or do you simply feel there's room for improvement in your relationship with money? I like that she just gets down to like not granular at all. It's like, do you feel like you could be making money out of your elbows? Okay, would you just maybe like more money? Okay, this course is for you. At least I used to. Well, at one point in time, many of these feelings, beliefs, and realities were very, very true for me. I've been there. And then a big cursive. It's like, and it sucked. So then we see about where are the prices, Amanda? This is a lot of talking. This is literally like 7 pages of text.
This is so blatantly like a scam. Book. This is so blatantly a scam. I actually love it. I love how it's just unabashedly clearly a scam. This is the biggest scam since Drop It with Drew. I'm just going to say that right now. This is so obviously you're going to come to a hotel ballroom and sit here for 3 hours. I'm going to take your money and you will not be changed whatsoever.
Okay. The core system to heal your relationship with money is 15 grand. The money mentality, which is higher than I even thought. So good for her. The money mentality makeover course, modules, and there's 9 modules, $2,000. So I guess that would be 18 grand if I'm doing this right. The MMM peer support community is 564. The MMM workbook and transcripts, $500, $497. Bonus, drop the struggle video series, value $3,300. I mean, good Lord, girl. It just goes on and on. So yeah, I mean, she's manifested money. All right.
She has manifested for sure. And I'm on the on the tab that says Vibe membership. It looks like there's like a community. And what's really cool is that like if you scroll pretty far down, you can get the quote, I'm in the Vibe affirmation cup. I mean, I thought this was a scam. But then when I saw that you can get a cup that says I'm in the Vibe, I'm like, wait a second. And the cup is one of those cups that's like shaped like an aluminum can. You know those glasses that have that? They're like, they use the can as a mold. So it's just like, guess what? I'm in the Vibe of a can, but I'm a glass. Yeah, it's a Vibe. And so on one side, it says I'm in the Vibe. And on the back side, this is what it says on the back side of this glass. I'm reading it directly off the glass. Say it with me. My vibe is pure. My vibe is potent. My vibe does the work for me. I align. I receive. I expand. Life loves me. Money flows to me. Opportunities chase me down. People love to pay me. Everything I desire is already mine. Everything works out for my good and in my favor always. I move with intention. I trust my power and I create my reality with ease. My success is inevitable. My abundance is limited. My essence is magnetic. I get in the Vibe. I live from the Vibe. My Vibe creates my life. All the love, Amanda Francis. She got on a glass.
This lady is absolutely full of shit.
I love her.
I love it.
I love
and it's all I love on one glass. And the picture says,
Maka. On one glass.
That's one glass, you guys. We just gave you a whole course for free. So I'm looking at this tab just because I thought it looked funny. Because all of these pictures are her like, look how rich I am. Like this one, she's wearing a real shiny blazer and an expensive purse and leather pants. And she's wearing pink high heels on a tennis court because that's what rich people do. They play tennis. And it says, turning shit into gold in big cursive. Pain into power. Deep doubt into discernment. Longing into love.
I'm not going to lie.
Alchemist. I'm an alchemist. I'm taking this course. Should we see if we can just get this course for free? Is it only for women? I'm womanly.
It'll be for us. Amanda, listen, someone who's friends with Amanda, tell her to listen. And then honestly, I just want the glass. At this point, I'm not even lying. It's a glass. Here's the thing. She's very smart. It's not just a glass that's on the website. It's a glass that's filled with cold brew and a metal straw. I mean, see, this is like if Geary's had this, hello, I would register for something. I'm like, I don't know, register for Sunday. Like it's my, it'll be a Sunday party.
Coffee cup that's always full.
Give me some cold brew in a glass that looks like a can that says I'm the Vibe and has a 30,000 word dissertation on the back of it.
It's only 15 grand, but you get a coffee that never ever empties. My vibe is pure. My vibe is potent. My vibe does the work for me. I align, receive, I expand. Yes, life loves me. Money flows to me. I'm going to do this. I took a screenshot. I'm going to memorize it and say it every day and see if I get rich.
Let's do it. I also love that, like, at the top, there at the top of the page, when she's, like, addressing you to try to, like, get you to join this membership, it starts with her saying, hello, my love. I'm like, I know you're not a hello, my love person. We've seen you
on
TV.
Yeah, she's Yolanda Vaughn her asses. Yeah.
I love this for her. I love this obvious grift. It's like really exciting to me.
Yeah, you go to the one that says meditations and it says, hello there, wealthy woman. I like the cursive. Like, it'll say like, hello. And then in big, yes, giant girly cursive, it's like, wealthy woman.
Period. She's into grammar. I notice her grammar is very good. She has her commas in the right places. She's like, when she says, hello there, wealthy woman, she doesn't have to include a period there because it's already so stylized. But she's like, no, there will be a period. That attention to detail, that is a manifestation.
Yeah, so she's full of shit. I've read so many of these self-help books, especially when I was younger. I used to read them all the time. And this is just exactly what it is, you know, just exactly that vibe. So as someone who's given those people tons of money, part of me is resentful, but the other part's like, well, I mean, it's going great, right?
Hey, everyone, this is the end of part one of this recap. For part two, keep an eye on your podcast feed. It is coming up in just a moment. Thanks so much for listening. Catch you on the second half.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber Way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K sarah sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsor.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.